Well, what a wonderful time of worship we had this morning, eh? That was incredible. Well, I'm going to continue in our series called Mature, School of the Spirit. And today is part seven, and the title of what I'm speaking on is Our Journey to Know God. And how important it is that we know God, and we're all hopefully on this journey. We should be on this journey. And part of knowing God is connected to our ability to grow and to mature in our relationship with God and in our faith as well. And if you're not growing and maturing in God, there's a reason for that, and that's what I'm going to be speaking about. The reason behind that, because our growth and maturity is directly related to our knowledge of who God is. And so I'm going to be speaking about what I've termed as key areas to help us grow and mature. And these are key areas to help us to know God as well. And there are four of them, and I'll just recite them very quickly, and then explain each one in a bit more detail. But these key areas are all, I've kind of put them as the four to be's. And they are, number one, to be in relationship with God. Number two, to be in the Word. Number three, to be in worship. And number four, to be in His presence. Now, the first thing is to be in His relationship with God, because that's really where it starts. And I think this morning Janine even said, and I concur with that, I think the thing that is most important to God in relation to us is His desire that we have a deep and intimate relationship with Him. I think that's what He is looking for, because that reveals the condition of where our hearts are. I believe He created us to know Him. And when He created mankind, it was so that we would get to know who He is. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those, this is the Lord saying, I love those that love me, and those who seek me find me. So He loves those who seek Him, who seek after Him. And what's interesting, it's not that He loves only those that are seeking Him, because actually, even if you're not seeking Him, He loves you. But here it's saying, He loves you because you're seeking Him, and that's what His heart's desire is for all of His children. In knowing Him, the important thing in knowing Him, and why is relationship so important in knowing God and having that relationship? In my own personal journey, walk with God, I find that it's a way that we learn to trust God, because I think trust is always something that's hard and challenging for us, especially in the kind of world that we live in. So it's important that we develop a relationship with God. And if you haven't done that, I just want to encourage you, do it. Start to talk to Him, speak to Him. He's there to listen to us. He's there to help us. He's there to lead us where He knows that we need to be. Second point is in the Word. The Word reveals God's qualities and His character. All these attributes, as I kind of itemize them, I realize these are all things that Jesus actually did. You know, Jesus was always in a relationship with the Father. He was in the Word. He knew the Word. He was the Word, actually. Word made flesh. He worshiped. He worshiped the Lord. And He was in His presence. So I didn't realize that until I I'd actually written that down, but that's just kind of like a sidebar. It's important to be in the Word because it, in the Word, reveals something that speaks, as I said, of who God is. When I became a Christian, I didn't know a lot about anything, really. I knew you needed to read the Bible, and so that's what I started doing. And I didn't know about, actually, if you invite the Holy Spirit when you're reading the Bible, it's so much better, because no one ever explained that to me. And I think it's really important because, yes, you can read the Bible and you can glean something. It's not like you don't get anything from it. But when you invite Holy Spirit to come in, and when we're studying, I mean, normally I will, when I'm ready to read the Word, the first thing I do is that I ask the Holy Spirit, would He reveal those verses that He wants to highlight? Would He highlight them for me, the ones that He wants me to hear? And if anyone has taken a Freedom Session, you'll know a little bit about that, because it's about asking Holy Spirit to come, inviting Him to come in while we're doing it. It's kind of, quickly, it's called the star system. It's the Scripture, highlight the Scripture. T is whatever thoughts come to you about that, just put them down, write them down. Ask the Holy Spirit for what's the application. I usually say, Holy Spirit, show me what the application was in that time, and then show it how it applies to me today in my life. And then R is, now that Holy Spirit has done and brought new and fresh revelation, R is, how am I going to respond? STAR. Because we don't want to just get the revelation. It's like, okay, now, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? You've told me how it's going to apply in my life. Now I need to respond to that. And so it's important to engage that. I think sometimes we can't see the forest for the tree in the sense of we can't see the things that God has already provided for us that we just forget or we don't see. But I love that the scripture in 1 Peter 3, where it talks about God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. That is, everything that we need to live the life that He's called us to do. There's nothing that He has omitted. There's nothing to come more. It's done. He's provided it all. It's there for us to use. It's there for us to utilize in our daily lives. And the other amazing thing is that He's given us, the Father has given us His Spirit to live in us. And I think one of the things that was on my heart this morning was just to really emphasize worship and presence. But let me finish about the Word. So we want to invite Him because He does live in us, and He is our helper. He's our guide, He's our counselor, but He's also the one that brings the deep understanding and revelation. And that's why it's important when we read Scripture to invite Him to show us the deep stuff, which without Him we can't see, but with Him we can. We all know Psalm 119, verse 105, you know, His word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And I kind of like that picture because that's what God does. His word guides us. It shows us where we need to be, when we need to be there. The third thing is worship. And I loved the worship that we had this morning. It was incredible. And I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God here as well. And, worship is more than singing. Although singing is one way to express worship, worshiping God, praising Him. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that, we forget that it's actually much more than that. It's giving thanks. It's praising Him. It's prayer. I love what in John 4, 23, 24, and you know it well, it's Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and she's saying, well, you know, we worship God at our mountain, and but you Jews, you worship God in the temple. And this is what Jesus responded to him, to her. He says, yet a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That is such an important thing because we are spirit. The spirit lives in us. And we don't want worship to be, it's not just a superficial thing. It's a matter of our heart. It reflects the condition of our heart. Worship is sacrifice. Is sacrificing our body to him. We see that explained in that way in Romans 12, in verse 1. And I thought I had that scripture here. Actually, I do have it here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So worship is when we're willing to give up something that we might be hanging on to because we love him so much. Worship invites God's favor and blessing. As I was just happened to be reading in 2 Samuel, and what it was that it got me there was first is because I want to mention something about David, that David was such an incredible example for us to see, for a man that was passionate for God and the things that he put in place in terms of worship and experiencing presence. He knew what that was. And he was probably one of the very few kings that actually experienced that because he had such a passion for God and he wanted to go deeper in his relationship. He wanted to experience all that God has for him. And in that exuberance in 2 Samuel 6, you know, the ark is not in Jerusalem. And so he wants to go and he gets it. But, and we know the story, he doesn't inquire, he doesn't ask the Lord how he's to do that. And as a result, someone is literally struck dead. And so I can't imagine what that, it must have been actually terrifying for everyone, even for David. So I guess he figured, well, let's just take it somewhere for a while. So they took it to a place, a man whose name is Obed-Edom. And they put the ark there, and it was there for 3 months. And what struck me as I read that, is it said that it was with him and his family, and they were blessed. God blessed them while they were there. And I was wondering, well, first of all, who is this guy, Obed-Edom? And why did God bless him? So, thanks goodness for Googling. I Googled, and his name means servant and worshiper. And so it struck me, God blessed him because he was a worshiper. And that's why when we worship, we invite, I believe, and you can examine that yourself, but I believe that it invites God's favor and his blessing in our lives because it pleases God to worship. And God doesn't need us to worship. He doesn't need us to do it for himself because he's lacking of nothing. But I think when we choose to worship, we're actually demonstrating to him that we understand who he is And I think that really pleases him and delights him, that we actually get it. We've got that revelation. And I want to just say, this morning, there were so many declaration-type expressions of who God is that I was really delighted to hear that. And things that just emphasized who God is, because I think we need to remind ourselves on a daily basis who that is. That's where Thanksgiving, if I've learned anything over the last few years, I've learned to express my thankfulness to Him more than my asking Him for anything. And because I think, as Kevin was saying, even where you're going through difficulty, I think the best thing we can do is be thankful that God is with us. Which leads me in a bit into His presence, because His presence is with us in the Holy Spirit. And that's a powerful thing in itself, to experience His presence. We see, again, we use that same example of Obed-Edom. We say not only that he was blessed, but he experienced actually the presence of God in his home. I was talking to Janine a little bit about it, and I was thinking the other thing that is remarkable is, you can imagine, you know, David's attempt at bringing the temple to Jerusalem has run into an obstacle. There's a death. What people must have been terrified. And I'm wondering, what did Obed's wife and children say? Like, "Dad, why did you bring that Ark of the Covenant into this place?" You know, they must have been fearful. But he wasn't, obviously. And so that, to me, speaks of, again, faith and of an understanding and knowledge of who God is. And I mean, all these things really work together. They're not mutually exclusive. All these things about knowing, having a relationship with Him, being in His Word, worshiping Him, experiencing His presence, all work together. They're all important. They're things that we see actually Jesus did, which even more, that we have His example to follow. But as far as His presence, I went to the book of Acts. And in verse 1, or Acts 1, verses 4 and C, we find it says that once he was eating with them, once when he was eating with them, this is Jesus was eating with his disciples, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So it was critically important that this happened. But also, to me, I'm always amazed that God would do that, that He would actually put His Spirit to indwell in us. Like, it's remarkable. I find sometimes it's hard to express it in words, but we don't see the Holy Spirit because He's Spirit, but He's living in us. And again, I think in our ability, in our desire to want to grow and mature, we have to be aware of His presence, know that He's there, but we need to believe it. I think sometimes we take it for granted. The Holy Spirit is not in us just waiting and chilling out. He's there because He wants to work in and through us. All He's waiting for is for us to invite Him there, to say, "Holy Spirit, have Your way in me. Do whatever You want to do." And that's what I try to repeat as often as it comes into my mind, is to do that, because that is what my heart is. Because not only is a helper and counselor and guide, But he also is the one that empowers us to do what we could never do it in our own strength. And it's not just the plans and purposes of God. Those are part of it. But it's what Holy Spirit wants to do. Why God has worked it out this way, I'm not entirely sure. If you know, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. But he's chosen to do that, to have Holy Spirit work through me, through you, to reach someone else. I mean, we've heard lots of testimonies here about people saying, you know, I was in the shopping mall and whatever, and I saw a person, and I felt the Lord say, go up to them and speak to them. And so you make yourself available. Holy Spirit's trying to reach you. You're not even thinking about it. But because we're spirit, and he is spirit, we can actually communicate really well. Sometimes it needs a bit of practice that it becomes normal, because all these things that I'm talking about, they should be part of our daily lifestyle. Like, worship is not just something reserved for Sunday. It's a lifestyle. And it doesn't involve just singing, as I said. It could be anything that really glorifies God. And we do it because God is worthy of that. I don't know how else to explain it. He's worthy of that. And I know that it delights his heart. Can you imagine what the difference it would make in your life and my life if we actually began to use what God has already provided for us? If we would worship him in spirit and truth and understand what that, all of that means, that we go to Holy Spirit for guidance, because we don't want to do things that we want to do, because we see that really doesn't help us to grow and mature in Christ. So we need to hear what he is saying. That's corporately and personally as well. And then we have to follow through with that. It's one thing to say, Holy Spirit, have your way, but then we get in the way of things and we don't experience what he wants to. Maybe we don't get the revelation of what he's trying to say to us there. So we have to be really sensitive to that, but it changes the nature of how we live. When we looked at that scripture in Acts 1, we saw that this was something that we know what happened. The Spirit came and filled everyone that was in that room. They said this sounded like the wind, a strong wind, and people started in that room, started speaking different languages. And then at that time, we know that there were people in Jerusalem that heard this. They heard different languages. There were people that came from different countries, so they actually recognized languages that they were spoken. But they also noticed who those 120 were that were in that room were Galileans, but they were speaking their own language. And it was an incredible thing, and it was something that was couldn't explain. But it was how the Holy Spirit moves. And I think we have to be comfortable with, when we invite the Holy Spirit to do something, that he doesn't always do it the way that we would do it. And actually, I would hope that he doesn't, because I know that he has a better way of doing that. So yes, it's going to appear maybe a little bit strange, but again, we have to trust in the Lord. And how do we trust him? By knowing him, by knowing his character, know that he's good, know that he loves us, know that he wants us to grow and to mature and have a healthy relationship with him. So when we consider, I'm just going to wrap up right now, really, and it's just let's consider everything that God has provided for us. And let's make some changes and adjustments in our lives. The scripture says it's good to examine ourselves. So it's a good thing to ask yourself and to be honest with yourself, Am I different now than I was last year at this time? Have I grown and matured? And be honest with that. If you haven't, remember, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. God isn't here to make us feel guilty. He's here to help us. Holy Spirit is here to help us examine ourselves. Because if we're not growing and maturing, if we haven't grown and matured in our, then there's something that we're missing. And it's going to be one of those four things that I highlighted. It's either our relationship with the Lord isn't what it needs to be. We're not in the Word, and so we're not being fed spiritually. And so just like you don't feed your body starts to starve. We begin to be starved spiritually if we're not spending time with Him. And in our worship and in His presence, those are all things that have to be affected. If we're not worshipers, then we should be worshipers. And that scripture talks about true worshipers. We should be true worshipers, and we should be being in the presence of God all the time. And none of those things need to happen in the church, by the way. Being in the presence of God doesn't require a special event at the church where somebody with a prophetic gift or whatever other kind of gift comes in. No. It's wonderful because they're obeying what God has told them to do. They're sharing their gift. And it was wonderful having Tanya here, because she did such an amazing job and made it so simple, I think, for all of us to understand. But those are all things that each and every person can do that. And I want to encourage everyone, examine yourself and ask yourself those questions, because you should be growing, you should be maturing, because that's what God wants you to do. And as the body of Christ, I think our expectation of the impact that we can have our community is going to go to a different level, simply because now we're not trying to do things in our own strength, but we're engaging. We're engaging God. We're engaging Holy Spirit to come in. When I say God, I mean God the Father. I mean Jesus, His Son, and I mean Holy Spirit. It's too complicated to explain. But hopefully that's encouraging for us. And I just want to pray for us before I stop. Lord, I thank You. I thank You that we do believe that Your word is true when it says that You have given us everything that we need to live the life that You've called us to live, a life that is holy and godly and that honors and worships You, Lord. My prayer is that we would not ignore time with You, that we would feed our spiritual bodies the truth of Your word, that we would become worshipers daily and just worship You simply because You're worthy of it. And Holy Spirit will give us the words to be able to express how much we love You and how we want more of You, Lord, so that we can experience everything that You have for us, so that we can begin living the lives that You've called for each and every one of us. You have a plan and a purpose for every person that a part is of the bridge, that we can look outside of ourselves and see how can we change the culture of the cities that we live in. Because we can, not in our strength, but in Your strength and using Your strategies, Lord. So, Lord, come and have Your way in each and every person here. Let that be a prayer that is in our hearts, because that is what we desire. because we desire to do and to be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.